Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yo, how we doing on this fine Wednesday afternoon in New York City? Evan and Tiki with you for the next 4.5 hours. We got a lot to talk about. We will update our MLB free agency bingo cards. Sean Morash may have to take the biggest L he has ever taken in his WFAN career.
Ever? Wow.
It's a lot of L's.
That's coming up a little bit later on. Plus, I've come up with a scientific way, science, to answer all of your WFAN shakeup questions. All right, so scientifically, we'll explore that coming up a little bit later on. But today is the perfect day to grade Joe Shane. He met the media yesterday. We listened to some of the things he had to say yesterday. It was not met with roaring approval in terms of how he handled the press conference. But we now have a 4-year sample size of Joe Shane as the president or general manager, whatever his stupid title is, of the New York Football Giants. Mm-hmm. And as we sit here trying to debate or understand if he should come back or not come back, I think we need to look under the hood. So I started writing down all of his acquisitions. I was going through the drafts. I was going through free agency, and let's do it. Let's figure out if Joe Shane truly sucks as much as we all think he sucks. Are you ready to play the game?
Yes, let's play this game.
Declining the fifth-year option on Daniel Jones going into the 2022 season. I think that was the right move to make.
Yeah, that was a check.
Checkbox.
Like, how are we grading these? We're grading these by A's. We're grading these by 190%.
Oh, I think they 80%. should get letter grades.
A, so let's give that an A.
That's an A grade?
That's an A.
See, I think that's an A grade, but what's very important as we begin this exercise is to understand that some grades matter more than other grades.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the surprise quiz on a Friday that's only responsible for 5% of your total grade, and then other tests are really, really important, and they qualify for like 60% of your grade.
Yes.
Not exercising the fifth-year option on Daniel Jones is like 0.05%. It's a no-freaking-brainer.
Of course, that was easy.
Yeah, so I go with, like, whatever. Signing Tyrod Taylor to be a backup quarterback?
That's an A, too.
That's a nice little solid move.
Right.
I got no issue with that. Exercising the fifth-year option on Dexter Lawrence? Okay, that's fine.
Easy.
I got no problem with that. Then you've got the 2022 NFL draft. And that was his first draft that he had.
Yes.
So let's take a quick gander. Kayvon Thibodeau at 5.
B plus.
That's a B plus?
Yeah.
See, I disagree. I don't think he's bad by any stretch, but I think when you take a player at 5 overall, mm-hmm. you need to be a Pro Bowl caliber player. Has he ever made a Pro Bowl?
No.
Okay. So I think that's a C, to be quite frank.
Yeah. It helps because this is nuance and doesn't matter, but because he hasn't made a Pro Bowl, his fifth-year option is much more tenable.
Oh, come on. And that's going to up his score?
No, but you get him for a fifth year for $14 million.
He's an average.
As opposed to 20.
He's an average player. That's all he is. Mm. It's not that he's a bust. I'm not calling him a bust. He's an average player. When you take a guy fifth overall, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
My bar's higher. And my bar's higher. Am I
wrong?
I'll
say B minus.
One giant step back there?
I'm still giving him a B because is he a player worthy of a second contract in the NFL? Yes.
Yeah.
And I also, I'm going to grade it amongst its peers. What was the alternative pick at five besides Kayvon Thibodeau? Sauce was already off the board. The alternative pick might have been Evan Neal. So it could have been worse.
Well, let's get to Evan Neal. He was taken seventh. Yes. Is that an F minus?
Yeah. Can you go below that?
That's a bad one. And you know, I talk about how certain grades matter more than other grades. Seventh overall.
Yeah.
When you are picking seventh overall, there's a premium on that. And so if I've got an issue with Kayvon Thibodeau at five because he hasn't made a Pro Bowl and he's been an average player in the NFL, then you can imagine my issue with at seventh overall taking an offensive tackle that is unplayable. He's unplayable. He hasn't played this season,
yeah, he's
right?
Not even active for most of these games.
The rest of the draft, Wandell Robinson in the second round.
I mean, don't you got to give that one an A-minus at the very least?
Completely agree with you. I'm not just going to give him horrible grade. I think that was good. The rest of the draft, this is third round and beyond. Joshua Izudu, Cordell Flott, Daniel Bellinger, Dane Belton, Micah McFadden, DJ Davidson. What would you give the rest of that?
I'd give it probably a C.
A C. So overall, what's that draft?
Maybe a C plus. I give C plus from third and down. Because Cordell Flott actually has been pretty good.
Yeah.
Even though we're frustrated by him. Daniel Bellinger, he's a useful athlete as a fullback and as a tight end. Not going to put up huge numbers. I'd give it a C.
Overall, that draft is a C at best, bro.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
You got a B minus, an F, an A minus, and a C plus.
Yeah, that's an overall. That's a Sean Morash grade.
It's very average.
We're going to get to this, but a little spoiler as time goes on, the 2022 draft might end up being his best because
of
this.
Yeah, I mean, that's a problem. Listen to the 2023 draft. Let's grade this one real quick. Deonte Banks at 24.
F.
That's an F?
And they traded up one spot. Remember that.
Jamichael Schmitz in the second round.
Still to be determined. I'm going to say that's a C.
Still to be determined?
Yeah. Well,
because he's playing well now.
Right? His best career year. He's come into his own in year.
Yeah. I'd give that a C.
I agree with you. I'll go C plus. How about Jalen Hyatt?
Yeah.
How about the rest of that draft? Eric Gray, Trey Hawkins, Jordan Riley. What do you think about that?
F.
That would have gotten an F if you were GMing a CFL team.
Now the 2024 NFL draft, Malik Nabers at six.
Overall, that's a failing grade.
Oh, that last draft we just went through? That's an F.
Yeah.
So far through the drafts, we have a C and we have an F.
So you have a C and an F. All right, a C and 24. An F.
Malik Nabers at six overall.
That's a win.
That's
an A plus.
We'll see how he responds to the big injury this year. Tyler Newbin in the second round.
I'm going to give him a B.
Isn't that the guy you announced? Didn't you announce Tyler Newbin?
Him and Drew Phillips.
Drew Phillips in the third round?
Because they had such good, man, they're hard because they had great rookie seasons and then sophomore slumps. So it's to be determined.
Theo
but
Johnson.
I'm giving them both Bs.
Theo Johnson in the fourth round. That's not bad.
No, he's still B.
That's a B. Tyrone Tracy in the fifth round?
That's a B plus.
That's actually not a bad draft, the 2024 draft, right?
Yeah.
The problem is, and this is why it's TBD, we'll see next year, new defensive coordinator, the Newbin Phillips stuff, man, if they keep trending backwards, that's going to be a huge blemish here.
100%, because they got worse this year.
That's the problem. Now, they could easily rebound, but that's
right
why
now,
it's tough.
It's a B draft.
That's a B draft?
Yep.
Oh, so far, that's his best draft.
Yeah.
The one from this year is obviously a little bit more tougher to read. We're still in the rookie year of these players.
But just project it.
Okay.
So let's project it.
Abdul Carter at number three overall right now feels very shaky.
Yeah.
He's fallen asleep.
I'm going to give him a C minus right now.
Oh, I think you're being generous.
I know I am.
I think you're being very generous.
I'm giving him a C minus.
Now,
only because being at those games early, he was affecting the game. He wasn't statistically showing up, but he was affecting the game. That has now ceased.
Well, that's ceased, and also you have reports. Albert Breer had a great report this morning or last night that he was fined numerous times by Brian Daboll for being late to meetings.
Right.
Then Mike Kafka lays down the suspension where he misses a drive, and then, as we saw a few days ago, he misses two drives because, again, he missed a team function. So you're talking about a guy who, at least on two known occasions, but probably a lot more than that,
right,
has been delinquent to team activities.
Yeah.
And that's to go along with a year in which he was supposed to be Lawrence Taylor, and he hasn't been close.
Yeah, that's C minus D area.
Oh, I think that's a current D.
Yeah.
That's a D minus.
Mm.
It can change.
Yeah, but he's been good, too, in moments.
So I know, but
that's why I can't give him a full D.
Jackson Dart?
It's an A.
That's an A. I'm
not
with
even,
you.
Not even a question.
Darius Alexander, the defensive tackle.
B minus.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
He just hasn't played a lot.
Yeah, gotten better the last couple weeks. In a normal world, that's a pretty good third-round pick when you see the emergence. But again, this team needed to plug a hole in the third
round. So Cam, I'm going to say a B minus.
Cam Scataboo.
That's a...
Marcus Bowe.
Bowe, that's a B right now.
So what's that draft overall so far in 2025?
So Bowe, that's... What are we giving Bowe?
As a grade?
Yeah.
I actually think it's a B+, because remember, when he finally got to step in for Andrew Thomas that last game, he played well.
He's a late-round draft.
Yes. Fifth rounder, that's a pretty good hit on a tackle.
It's like an A-, but probably B+.
So you now have four drafts we just went through. Overall grade really feels like a C-ish kind of grade. Couple of hits, couple of misses, some really bad misses, some hits that feel really good. Overall, that's four drafts. Where do you have the grade at?
So I have a C, I have an F.
C, F.
B, B+.
Yeah, that's about a C+.
So that's a C+.
That's a C+,
B-.
C-range. It has to be also because there's not enough balance. You take an entire draft that could have some core members and it's completely meaningless. That's a problem.
Right.
So that's his drafts. Now let's look at some of these free agency acquisitions. Number one, the decision to extend Daniel Jones. This is year two now because year one they declined the fifth-year option. Now we're in year two. Giants have a big year, right? Make the playoffs. Yippity-doo-dah. Mm-hmm. Daniel Jones gets a long-term contract. How'd you grade that, Teague?
That's a D.
That's a D. How'd you grade that one, Shawnee?
It's a D because the alternative was just let him go into free agency.
Right.
And you would have been so much better off.
Well, and also,
you would have fixed your quarterback issue much, much quicker.
You're also judged by results. And Daniel Jones, after signing the contract, was an unmitigated disaster.
Right.
That's just the reality.
Unhealthy, not the same player.
Unhealthy, not good. The team was awful.
D.
D, what about you, Tommy?
I would give that a D.
That's a D. That's a straight up D. Yeah. That's a big D. Big D.
Big D.
Decision to franchise Saquon Barkley for a year. Okay? Because remember, this is part one of the Saquon little episode we would get to.
Yeah.
Gets the tag after the 2022 season. Not happy about it. Does a mini holdout. They do some weird machinations with the contract. They get him to camp.
I'm going to say A.
That's an A?
Yeah. You kept him. And he was an important part of your locker room. It wasn't good for your relationship with Saquon, which we'll then subsequently see.
Right.
Like the Saquon exit. This is the Saquon tag. I thought it was the right move at the time. The Saquon exit, that's going to be pure F.
Well, okay. So the reason I can't give this an A is because at the time, if you are saying, hey, let's not go crazy on Daniel Jones. Let's let him get to free agency. And Saquon is so important to leadership. Why not get him on a 3 or 4 year deal that spreads out the cap hit and shows the locker room and him, leadership is so important. We're going to keep you around for a couple of years instead of tagging you, which players hate.
The hard, because they already had given, he'd already messed up with Daniel Jones. So he was kind of stuck. But the hard thing with Saquon is that it seems like Saquon wouldn't accept the deal. Because we've talked about this multiple times.
Right.
The deal he essentially took with Philly was the same one that the Giants offered.
Right.
He just didn't take it with the Giants. So are we blaming Joe Shane or are we blaming Saquon?
It's a little bit of both.
It's why it's nuanced. It's a hard one.
No, it's tricky. And it sets up the following year where obviously they lose him to the Philadelphia Eagles.
Which is an F.
The veteran acquisitions, Bobby Okereke. You like that one?
In real time, but it hasn't aged well.
Darren Waller. Do we like that one?
F.
That's an F. Raheem Nunez-Roches.
It's a fine. That's like a B minus.
That's all right. It's a C plus, B minus. I agree with you on that. Brian Burns.
Yo, hold on. A plus. You're going out of order. You're the wrong year with Burns.
Go ahead.
Burns is the year after. The last free agency here is Paris Campbell as a wide receiver.
That's right. I left Paris Campbell out. It was so bad.
Okay. Well, you can't leave out the so bad.
That's like a, what do we even call that? In no context.
N-A.
Yeah. N-A, exactly.
Not A.
It doesn't even register on the Richter scale.
But again, these are important when grading him. That was supposed to be the other second wide receiver for Daniel Jones off a playoff year.
I feel like they didn't really give up anything.
They didn't, and they didn't pay him a lot of money. That's why I didn't include him.
Yeah, so like, he's not interested.
Look, if we count every move, this would be a 9-hour show. Yes. So I'm really going. I'm playing the highlights, or at least I'm trying to. The following year was Brian Burns. That's probably the best move he's made.
That's A+.
That's an A+. They acquire him from Carolina for a second-round pick and a fifth-round pick, and then they give him a five-year, $150 million extension.
And that should be judged as you traded Leonard Williams for Brian Burns, because they took what they got for Leonard Williams and traded for Brian Burns.
John Runyon as a free agent signing.
B+.
I agree. Jermaine Illuminor is a free agent signing.
It's an A, considering the money he got and what he gave him.
I agree. I think the Runyon, the Illuminor, the Burns moves a year and a half ago, very good. Devin Singletary to basically replace Saquon Barkley.
I mean, when you put it that way,
wow!
It's not. I'm gonna give it a B.
I'm gonna give you my biggest D. Drew Lock. I hated that signing.
Yeah, that was terrible.
I admit the guy I wanted them to go get was Justin Fields.
The reason I think Drew Lock, you're right, it's just a terrible signing. But they were buying from the bargain basement.
No, I know.
It just is what it is.
But there's other bargain basement quarterbacks that could have been better than Drew Lock.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
Or not gotten in the way of Tommy DeVito.
That too.
Could have had Jameis that year too.
The last season, this upcoming season, Paulson Adebo and Javon Holland.
I mean, they've missed time. So it can't be more than a C.
But are you going to get to everybody? Because they gave guaranteed.
Keep going. Who else you got?
C.J. Board, James Hudson getting $5 million a year. You forget he's a Giant.
Right.
Darius Slayton getting the guaranteed money he got. Chauncey Golston, who never plays, getting the guaranteed money he got.
He played yesterday. Okay. Or Monday night.
But still, for the money they gave him, and $13 million for Russell Wilson. All of those factor in to building a roster this year.
All right, so
Adebo, I'll give a C+. Same with Holland. No, I'll give him a B-. Holland. Slayton, I mean, D. Golson just hasn't played. C-. Russell.
He's literally writing this down. I'm so proud of you.
D+.
Good.
D+, because leadership was important.
I'm already like averaging out Tiki's grade based on all the grades you're handing out to see what you're going to give Joe Shane as the final verdict.
Yeah. No, I'm doing it for real. Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm being fair. I left Jameis off there because he's making minimal money. I'm giving you the guys that they gave way too much money to on their cap.
No, I agree. Because I think when you don't throw a lot of money at a guy, even if it doesn't work, it's one of those no biggie kind of moves, to borrow a line from Tommy. It's like a minor league free agent in baseball. It's like, yeah, if it works like Jose Iglesias, great. And if it doesn't, who cares? There's no harm, no foul. As long as you're not relying on that guy to do a lot for you. The other thing that needs to be moved into the table when we're grading them, and this is probably the end-all, be-all, and I'll be nice and include 2022, why wouldn't I, is the record. 20 wins and 43 losses with a tie. And if I want to be mean and I take out 9-7-1, in which he inherited someone else's roster, the last 3 years would read as, 11 wins and 36 losses. Mm. And if I really want to be a jerk and I just look at the last 25 games, it would read as 3 wins and 22 losses.
Bad.
That should also just be on the record as we're handing out these grades.
Okay, I have 3 intangibles that we didn't list off here that I think need to be taken into account.
Okay.
Number one, you listed the record. Just to put the record in context, through 64 games, which Joe Shane has overseen, He is one game better than Dave Gettleman in those 64 games.
Okay.
So that's in context. Here's the other two things. Three straight years of not releasing Graham Gano and going into the same year with the same kicking
problem. That's a bad one.
You have to include that because it's part of your GM
job. I already
job.
Had a score. Now you're bringing it down.
Okay. And then the other one, which is very kind of in the weeds, but is worth noting because the Giants, again, are going to be up against this with Wandell Robinson. They were up against it with Julian Love and McKinney. His lack of foresight preseason to get contract extensions done and allowing these to bleed to after the season, which is part of the general manager's job and how you lose talented players off your own roster.
Yeah, all fair. I'll give you one positive for Joe Shane, and I think I want to be fair in this. This is a process in which I think we're all trying to be fair, and we'll get your thoughts coming up, 888-808-1019. The offensive line feels like it's in the best place it's been since the Eli era, and a part of that is John Runyon. A part of that is Jermaine Illuminor. A part of that is inheriting Andrew Thomas. Mm-hmm. A part of that is John Michael Schmitz, who you guys mentioned is having his best year of his career. So it's a combination of factors. But right now, when you look at the state of the New York Football Giants, I feel better about their offensive line than I have in a decade.
Well, that's the reality of what Joe Shane was brought here to do. Task number one, fix the quarterback situation. He had fits and starts. He screwed it up. He did right by not giving Daniel Jones the fifth-year option. Great call. He did wrong by not letting Daniel Jones just go into free agency. Make someone else pay you. And if the number is tenable to us, then we'll hold on to you. Because we really like you, Daniel Jones. We know the family, the Mara family and the Tisch family, they really like you, Daniel Jones. But we're not bidding against ourselves, which is what he did. That was an error. After that, though, he had to find his quarterback. He found his quarterback. You have to give him credit for that.
Yeah.
Task number two, fix the offensive line, which has been a disaster for a decade. He's fixed the offensive line. So the two biggest tasks that he had, fixing the quarterback, fixing the O-line, he's passed.
Yeah.
Like, you have to give him credit for
I
that.
I absolutely do. Which is why, you know what? When we come back, I'll give you my final grade. We'll get all of our final grades after we put all the facts on the table for you. If you're just tuning in, you can just rewind the Odyssey app, and you could hear a very extensive breakdown on all of Joe Shane's moves over 4 years. When we come back, we'll hand out our grade, and we'll get your calls at 888-808-1019. I remember fearing my grades in school, being worried what they would look like, and now we are handing them out for Joe Shane, who met the media yesterday. It did not go over well. And Giant fans are all debating, should this guy even come back? We tried to be scientific about it. We opened this show going through a lot of his major moves, trying to grade them, the draft, the free agency, all the roster decisions he has made. Tiki Barber literally has written down 150 different things. He has put the grades out.
I did it like a teacher.
He did it like a teacher. You're even weighting it like a teacher.
This move
matters more than that move. So what is your final verdict on the four-year tenure of Giants general manager Joe Shane?
So Joe Shane, in the final tenure, because of the heavy weight that I'm putting on the quarterback and the offensive line, has a B-minus grade.
B-minus?
B-minus. C-plus for the 4 years of drafting.
Wow.
He has his own free agents, that's a D, because of the Saquon handling, Jones extension, and obviously Saquon leaving and going to the Philadelphia Eagles. Kind of starts to get some positive traction because of the Bobby Okereke, you know, the Wallers, the Burns, et cetera, all those guys. That came out to me to a C+.
Mm.
And then you throw in the intangibles that we were talking about. There is a major flaw, obviously, in the Gano stuff, but he fixed the quarterback and he fixed the O-line. That just gets a heavy weight for me because I think that was his task. So he has a B-minus grade from me.
B-minus grade from Tiki, the host of 16 different Giant podcasts, is Sean Morash. What is your final grade?
I'm giving Joe Shane a flat C.
A flat C.
Okay, I wanted to go higher, but I am not giving him as much credit as the rest of you on the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't really have to argue this, but just my opinion, he cost himself other resources to help this team by finally fixing this offensive line by how much he failed early with Neal, Azudu, others. And then he did get it fixed.
Yeah.
But here's the other problem with getting it fixed. It's still not fixed long term. Greg Van Roten's got it this year. Who's playing right guard next year? Jermaine Illuminor is a free agent. He's probably going to get big money. He didn't get a deal done with him before the year, an extension.
But that's why you draft Bo.
And I agree. So again, I'm not crushing him. The O-line looks great. Looks like a top 10 unit this year. But there's also no foundation for the future in place on the O-line, and that scares me to death. So
you
I'm giving
have a left tackle, Andrew Thomas, yeah. and you are likely to draft another offensive lineman in this year's draft. Not in the first or second round, but I'm sure you're going to find one.
Sure. And again, I can project, but I can also project, what if he finds Josh Azudu again?
Yeah.
So to me, it's a flat C.
Flat C. Now, Tommy gave him a B-plus the other day, but now you did the exercise. So has that changing your grade for Joe Shane at all?
I'm still giving Joe Shane a B-plus. The Giants have improved at every single position since 2021, including running back. Because if you look at Saquon Barkley right now this year and you project the next five seasons for him compared to Scadaboo and Tracy, I think the Giants have the edge there. So I'm going to give Joe Shane a B+. Every position is better since he has taken over.
So I'm the IFO here.
You are the IFO.
To say the least, I've listened to everything you guys have said.
Uh-huh.
I've also written down my notes. I mean, you guys are something else. All of you. You guys are something freaking else.
You're going higher?
This guy gets an F.
F?
An F.
You can't give him the record, though. That's the problem.
I have to give him the record.
I know you are, but it's hard to do that.
Well, but I have to. Why?
How many games did he coach?
He didn't coach
How
any.
How much influence did he have on who's playing in what situation?
Tiki picked the coach. He may not have picked to get rid of him. That clearly came from ownership. So you know what? I won't put Kafka as the head coach over the last few weeks on him, but he picked the head coach. And here's the other thing that really brings my grade down. From a cap space perspective next year, they don't have a lot of it. Now, I'm sure they'll create cap space. It's fungible, like you said.
Yeah.
But unlike teams at the top of that grid who are already in a great spot to spend, the Giants aren't. They've also spent more money on their defense than every team in the NFL but one. Next year, allotted money is number one. And so I hear you on the offensive line. I hear you. You're mm-hmm. right. I hear you on the quarterback. I'm with you. But some of these top picks, specifically Kayvon Thibodeau, Evan Neal, and Abdul Carter, none of them are Pro Bowl impact players. And when you are taken in the top 10, I'm sorry. It's the same reason Beningo and I would kill Leonard Williams. We knew he was good.
Yeah.
We said he wasn't good enough.
Yeah, but the draft is just one part.
Okay, I just hit on all of them.
I know. Your thing is you're weighting the wins and losses heavier than I am.
I mean, isn't that why we're here? It's a wins and losses business.
All right, I'm going to take a specific example, one that you've heard me rail specifically about.
Go.
And it's the one part of this season that pisses me off more than anything that the Giants have done maybe in the last, I don't know, eight years. You're winning on the road against the Denver Broncos. It's 3rd and 5. Does Joe Shane say, hey, Dave, man, make sure that Jackson Dart is the hero of this game? No. He had nothing to do with the biggest flop of this Giants season. That was Dave's. That was Mike Kafka. That was creating a losing moment, losing stupid football, snatching defeat from the inevitable. It's not inevitable because it didn't happen. But the right in front of you, jaws of victory, that had nothing to do with Joe Shane. So how can you put
that I have an answer.
And all
I'll
of
tell
the,
you
and
what.
All of the other
yes.
game management issues on Joe Shane's plate?
Because at the end of the day, the buck stops at the top. At the end of the day, you are the decider. You may not have done those specific things, mm-hmm. but that's your head coach. You've been hands-on before. We heard reports 2 years ago he was on the headset to make sure he wasn't screaming too much at Mike Kafka. That's a true story. So even though he didn't specifically do it, look, I love to use the president's analogy, and no one should get sensitive. I guess I'll use a Republican and a Democrat to make everybody feel better about themselves. If someone working in the Obama or Trump administration does something wrong, but it wasn't Obama or Trump, it's still on the president.
Yeah, but they get fired.
Yeah, in 4 years after the election's
over. I don't know.
Oh, you mean, yes.
Our Secretary of Defense might be.
No, you're right. You can remove that person, but ultimately, the buck stops at the top.
Right.
And so I get it. Like a lot of the specific things. Look, a lot of this comes down to scouting too. And I want to show you my consistency. One of the knocks on Joe Shane is he didn't pick the quarterback. He didn't pick Jackson Dart. No, he did.
Right.
Even if it was pushed by a scout or a head coach, he's the one who firmly said, we're trading up and we're drafting Jackson Dart. Because right. again, the buck stops at the top, good or bad.
Also, the head coach isn't making the trade
right.
to move up to 23 or 25.
25, yeah.
Yeah.
So just so we know before we get to your calls, our final grades here on Evan and Tiki for Joe Shane's four-year tenure. Tiki is giving him a B-.
Mm-hmm.
Sean is giving him a flat C. Tommy is giving him a B+. And I am giving him, you know what, I'm not going to give him an F. That's too harsh. I'm going to give him a D-.
Okay?
A little tiny D.
I don't think you could fail him when you have to project wins and losses. It becomes a lot easier if you found the quarterback and he helped do that.
What was that?
I don't think you could give him a flat F. You have to give him higher than that because of Jackson.
I know, I just did. I gave him a tiny
D-. That's
what I'm
saying. I think that's a good job by you.
All right, let's get to your calls. 888-808-1019. Mike's in Clifton Park. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. So a couple of questions for you guys and your favorable grades here. But my worry as a fan is, number one, if Joe Shane stays, he will have a natural bias to keep the players that he drafted or traded for. And we need someone to come in and evaluate everything and cut bait if needed. The second thing is the culture that he developed for basically a presidential stay for 4 years is very weak. We can tell that.
Mm-hmm.
But let me ask you guys, question one, do you think Joe Shane thought he built a competitive roster in his going into his second year, a winning roster? Did he do that?
No. Did he think that? I mean, I'm sure he thought it, but it didn't work out that way.
Well, hold on.
Hold on. So a lot of that 2023 draft, that was, you know, let's get an explosive wide receiver. Who's the most explosive wide receiver on the board? Oh, Jalen Hyatt. Yeah, he had that 300-yard game against Alabama. Let's go get him. They didn't do a good enough job on him. Fact. Deontay Banks.
Yeah.
That was Wink Martindale's, like, adopted child. That Wink thought he was going to turn into a great player, and that's why they took him.
Yeah, but we still have to hold Joe for that.
100%. It was flawed philosophy, thinking that a emotional head coach was going to pick a good football player, especially one that would thrive in this city, where if you have a couple of bad games, they're on your ass.
Yeah.
And look, I think Deontay Banks is a talented athlete. He has not developed into the player that they thought he was going to be. It is a unmitigated disaster with him being the number one or their first pick in that 2023 draft. The rest of that draft was bad. But I think Joe even tried to say this yesterday. They made mistakes. They screwed up.
Yeah, well, and they've also gone backwards every year. I mean, they were 9-7 to 6-11 to 3-14. Yeah, record-wise. Well, that's how we're judged.
It's the only thing that matters. You're right. But roster-wise, you feel a lot better. I'm talking about from a pure looking at the roster. You feel so much better about this roster than you did the one 2 years ago.
Let's go to Miguel in New Jersey. Hey, Miguel.
Hey, what's up, Evan, Tiki, Sean? What's up, guys?
All's good, man.
What's up?
Listen, man, I think you guys got it a little contradicting or conflicting when it comes to that Daniel Jones contract. Like, you gave him an A for not picking up the option, but an F for the contract. And I think those two things conflict each other, because if you pick up that option, the next year he gets hurt, and it's so easy, it's super easy to kind of just let him walk, like you were just saying earlier, instead of giving him that big contract.
But
as far as the overall grade, I got to give that guy a D at best.
Well, the reason I have to disagree with you on that is the circumstances are different. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Joe Shane and Brian Daboll take over. They inherit this roster. Daniel Jones at this point hadn't really proven himself, he could stay healthy. That was my biggest question about Daniel going into 2022.
Yeah, he had a turnover issue. This is before Dabes' first year. A massive turnover issue, and he was always hurt.
Right. And so based on that information, I think Joe Shane was right to say, you know what, we're going to bring him back, but we're not guaranteeing you the following year.
Yeah.
He then has the best year of his career. Now we have new information. And there's a new market.
Right.
And so I think then you had two options to me that made more sense than what they did. You pointed out, just let him go to free agency.
Right.
The other possibility
you want him to come back.
Right.
But go to free agency.
See, what I would have preferred was to tag him and say, I'm putting you on the franchise tag. Mm. I'll bring you back for 1 year. Go do it again. If you can do this again, I'd at least have more confidence in giving you that long-term contract.
Right.
And they decided none of those options.
Either one of those would have worked.
Yes.
There were three options: franchise tag or transition tag, whatever, something to keep him here as on a tag, let him go to free agency, or pay him. They chose the one you can't do.
Right.
And it came back to bite him.
Let's go to Ben in Florham Park. Hey, Ben.
Yeah, and I just wanted to add another metric based on something that you already said, which is the allocation of resources to the defense, second highest this year, highest in the league next year. Objectively, this is a bottom three defense, second worst in turnovers, third worst in total defense, yards allowed, worst in rushing defense. That in and of itself, you can't manage a budget efficiently and get a good return on your budget. That is a metric that I think is almost like a fireable offense in of itself.
I agree. I think that's one of the toughest things he has to answer to, mm-hmm. which is...
Well, it was bad when he first got here. He got himself out of it, and now he's back in it again.
Right, and that's part of the problem. Like, their finances, which was always used as an excuse, wow, look what he inherited, which was fine. It's been 4 years, and now you kind of created a new mess in which you're investing that much into your defense, and the results aren't even close. Now, here's what I'd ask you, though, about this, because maybe you'll give me an answer that surprises me. If they get it right with a defensive coordinator, because they clearly got it wrong with Shane Bowen, which is on Joe Shane, in fairness.
It's kind of on Brian Daboll.
Yeah, but it goes back to the buck stops at the top.
Does it?
Yeah. Don't you think?
No, the head coach picks the staff.
I understand, but he picked the head coach is my point.
I know what you're saying. Yes.
You're responsible for this.
I hear you, but at some point, the guy who got fired for his bad decisions has to also carry that responsibility out the door with him. You know what I mean?
I get you.
And so, Russell Wilson, that's Dave's. Why the hell did Russell Wilson start this season when clearly in training camp you could see that Jackson Dart should have been or maybe even would have beat him in an actual meritocracy? That's inexcusable.
Right.
Especially for a guy who came in 2022 and said, you have to earn every bit of playing time. What did Russell Wilson do to earn his playing time here? Have a Super Bowl championship 18 years ago or whatever it was?
He threw a t-shirt really far at Madison Square Garden.
Right, right.
No, it was a football.
Oh.
Whatever it was.
Like, best pass as a Giant.
So Dave's made a lot of errors. And it's hard for me to pass that buck up to Joe Shane.
Fair enough. Then I'll ask you this. If Joe Shane is allowed to keep this job and hires a really solid defensive coordinator, will this defense, the way it's presently constituted, the most expensive defense in the NFL next year, do you think it could be a top five defense?
Potentially.
Okay. Then that would be a strike for Joe Shane. Because then you're saying it really is about coaching.
Yes.
The talent is there.
I do believe that, though. I think that leadership starts with coaching and development starts with coaching. And you put guys in the right positions, and then it becomes on them to know exactly how to excel.
Zach is calling from Holbrook. Good afternoon, Zach.
Hey, good afternoon. I appreciate you guys taking my call again. I coached you guys last week when you came up with this exercise, and I'm thrilled I got to hear it actually play out. Real quick, in my mind, without actually putting pen to paper, I was giving him somewhere in a C range, but after you guys talking about it, I'm thinking more B plus range.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, everything you guys have said, Tiki, I got to give you your flowers here, especially the on-field knowledge. You got to be biased toward my man here. My question to you guys is...
Real quick, Zach, the reason I'm saying this,
yeah.
I'm trying to think of how Ernie Accorsi, other than not giving me an extension when I wanted one after I'd already signed my contract, how did Ernie Accorsi affect me at all other than being a good dude? You know what I mean?
Right.
That's part of what I was going to say.
Yeah, go ahead, Zach.
I was going to just say just that. I'm talking about passing the buck to the top. I mean, Joe Shane can't make Abdul Carter show up to meetings. He can't make Russell Wilson be a good quarterback or not. He can pick the best players and put them in a position. He has nothing to do with what actually happens. So I don't hold the record against Joe Shane at all. I really don't.
Yeah, I agree with you, Zach.
Quick question, guys. I'm sorry, but this is impossible to do. But if we were to do it in a really short question here, how would we put his grade compared to other GMs? Is he average? Is he above average? Is he below average? I mean, how do we even talk about that?
Well, you know what complicates that question? If you have a team that is so overachieving,
yeah,
and maybe that answer is a team like the Patriots, and use them as an example.
Yeah, Elliott Wolf,
and we were grading Elliott Wolf. You may not like a lot of the players. No, you save that for Danny Wolf. Okay, that is not for Elliott Wolf. That's our stuff in Brooklyn. Okay?
Are you guys really, truly doing that?
Yes,
I'm for Danny Wolf.
Yes,
B beats Thundersticks.
Are other people actually
yes.
at the arena going, oh,
yes.
the Nets still in the league?
I'm yes. doing it on the couch now.
Yeah. I'm going Saturday. I can't wait. I'm going to be howling all night, baby.
Swag nut Nets.
Anyhow,
what it's were better saying? Than JETS.
Let's got a little honest. Mr. Jones going.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Everybody wants to pass as cats.
If you're over... like performing with your roster.
Yes.
Right? So, and I don't even know if the Patriots would check out on this, but I do want to answer his question fairly. And we didn't love the roster. Could we walk away and actually give the GM of a team with an 11-2 record a average grade because we think the coach is doing such a good job? I don't know. I mean, there's 32 different teams. I think we would view it differently in every case. I'm looking at this case because there is a debate right now. I'm surmising the Giants are going to have this debate at the end of the season because Joe Shane said it yesterday.
Yeah.
He said, I'll be evaluated at the end of the year. So if he's being evaluated at the end of the year, what we're doing is we're doing the evaluation for Maron Tisch. They're tuning in. They want to know what's going on with the FAN shakeup, and they happen to hear news about their team. And they're like, oh, that's a good point about Joe Shane. Screw it. Evan's right. It's a D. Get rid of his ass. I don't know. And so I don't know how other GMs would do.
Yeah.
I just know how we can grade this one.
Yeah, it's hard when you go back, because I'm just looking at Elliott Wolf and the New England Patriots this past draft. I mean, there's a couple players that have been impactful, Travion Henderson being one who's been really good. Andreas Borgalis, their kicker, he's been really good. So like, there's certain – Will Campbell was starting and got hurt. He hasn't been great this season, but he's a rookie. And so how do you – it's hard to evaluate without knowing – the ins and outs of what their drafts have been like over the last couple of years. But I do know that last year, Drake May, dude's going to win the MVP.
And that's weighted.
Heavily weighted.
That is heavily weighted.
Wait, you got the quarterback right? Oh, and he might win the MVP?
See, that's what would hurt Joe Douglas. If yes. I did this for Joe Douglas, there are so many good grades. But the ultimate F that would bring his grade down is Zach Wilson and Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the reality.
Like the position that is most important on your team, you... like utterly screw up, it's hard to have a passing grade.
Absolutely. And that's why weighting it is very important. Kenny is in Deer Park. What's up, Kenny?
Hey, guys. How we doing today?
We're good. What's up?
Good.
So I was listening to everybody's favorite deal last night, Al Citron, and somebody brought up, which I think is a really good idea, Tiki Barber is the next GM for the New York Football Giants.
Now, who brought that up? Was that Al or was that a caller? I need to know.
No, it was a caller.
Yeah, Al wouldn't do that.
Tiki, I could listen to you all day talk about football. You're so knowledgeable.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You would need a GM to call somebody for a trade, and they would hang up and go, did I really just do that? Tiki just talked me out of my shoes. What happened here?
Are you interested in being the new Giants general manager?
If I was qualified, absolutely. But I'm not qualified. I appreciate that, though. It's just, it's a skill. It's a grind. It's a understanding of the nuance that I just haven't put the time in to learn. Now, that being said, one of the best GMs in football right now is a Hall of Famer, would happen to be a teammate of my brother, who went straight from the TV booth because he had a good relationship with Kyle Shanahan and became the 49ers general manager.
John Lynch.
John Lynch. He's been great. And the reason I think he's been really good is because he's first of all, he's really smart, but he's also connected to the football side in a way that you can't discount, right? You can't have John Lynch tell you that dude's a baller,
right?
And then you look at John Lynch and be like, John doesn't know what he's talking about. Like, you just can't. When you have someone who did it at a really high level, you can tell, like, you can feel a baller, right? You can feel a guy who has that little it here or there. And it's one of the things that frustrates me about some of the draft picks that the Giants have, like Evan Neal. I don't know how you sit in a room with Evan Neal and think, man, this guy's going to be amazing. He's going to be dragging guys, you know, pancaking them and walking over them, you know, over the course of his career or season. I just don't feel that when I meet him, right? Or you look at a guy like Deontay Banks and it's like, man, dude, can you carry on a conversation? There is a fine balance between being like Cam Scataboo, like hood rat, like I don't meet me in the alleyway, but I can have an intellectual conversation with you at the same time. Like, that balance is what I think makes really good football players. And I'm not talking about intelligence. I'm not talking about IQ.
Right.
I'm talking about just awareness, football understanding. Being able to, something went wrong, tell me what went wrong. And if people are like, oh, I don't know, then I don't want you on my team. Like, I need to know what happened. Because if you can't tell me what happened, I can't fix it. And I think too often we get enamored with the athlete or what he did in college. College is a crap sport half the time. It's a different game that we're playing in the NFL. If you don't have an innate knowledge of how to play the game and understand the game from trenches to the back, the deep safety, then you can't be successful. You just can't. You're not going to accidentally be a great football player. I look at guys like Myles Garrett. Like, that dude is not accidentally great. He is intentionally great. And if you're not drafting guys like that, then what the hell are you doing?
No, you're right. That's what we're here for, baby.
Right.
We'll get back to our calls coming up, 888-808-1019. Football is...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.